The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
There are like 18 beavers in the river. For real. It's like right downtown Calgary. If you come here, it's Beaver City. I can't get over it.
Is that a euphemism for something?
No, it's not like welcome back. I know, doesn't it?
Oh no, gosh, can that be the name of episode 407, Beaver City?
For Beaver City, yeah, for sure. Trouble in Beaver City. Trouble in Beaver City. Definitely a way hot episode.
Everybody, and welcome back to the official Wynonna Earp podcast. I'm your host, Katie Wilson, and be sure to stick around to the end of the episode because we have a very, very special guest from Wynonna Earp joining us today, and we're really excited about it. And that's right, I said us and we because I am so excited to introduce you to my brand new co-host. Give it up for Rachel Ziola.
Hey. Hey, Katie. What's up? Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be part of this.
I'm so excited to have you.
This is great. We're going to be doing this. There's going to be a new one of these every Monday, normally, right? We're going to like bang this out once a week. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Mondays, you can expect a brand new official Wynonna Earp podcast. I'm just so excited that we have a guest. And I kind of want to tell everybody, but I feel like we should wait.
Well, they have to listen to us talk to each other first to be able to hear who the guest is at the end. If we give it, you can't give too much up front, you know, or people will.
That is so true.
Stick with you throughout the whole thing. That's a problem in my life, though. I put it all out front, like right to start with. And then that's probably like, I feel like I compare myself to orange soda. You either like love me and you're like, I want so much orange soda, or you're like, I hate orange soda. That's like pretty much how my life is spent.
I've never met anyone who doesn't like orange soda.
What?
So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, so yeah, so I'm Rachel and I work for the sci-fi team. I'm actually the creative lead for the marketing for Wynonna Earp for season 4. So pretty much in the weeds of it. And basically what that means is I work with a team to figure out like the best way to get everyone else to watch Wynonna Earp, you know, beyond the all of the Earpers. But it's like, how do we get everyone beyond that to also be obsessed with it? So, you know, making content, you know, a lot of the Earper stuff that's been going out, a lot of videos. I spent some time at Earpapalooza with the, I went and met the Earpers and filmed them. And they've been in a lot of our campaign strategy this year, which has been awesome. Earpapalooza was like unreal. Like I've never been to anything like, I mean, I've been to Comic-Con. I mean, like you've been to Comic-Con, right? I mean, it's like, yeah. But I've never been to like a specialized convention like that for something. And that was, it was awesome.
I can only say that my specialized convention experience is from going to Xena conventions.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can kind of like understand it from that aspect, but I have always wanted to go to Earpapalooza. It sounds like such a blast and getting to see everyone and just getting to meet other Earpers, you know, because the Earp community is so incredible, whether it's on Twitter or, you know, through the podcast or and finally getting to meet everyone in person is just such a cool experience.
One of my favorite kind of, you know, anecdotes from being there was we were interviewing all the Earpers and I had a team of these two guys that, you know, not to be stereotypical or anything, but you wouldn't think that they would necessarily watch Wynonna Earp like as their first choice. Right. But they watched and they helped us. My camera guy and my sound crew had we interviewed them and all throughout the day. They were so touched by all the Earper stories that night. They went home and watched the first 3 episodes. And
oh my gosh.
And so like they came back and they were like, oh my God, I needed to know about what was going on. They love it. And now I mean, I haven't kept in touch with them, but I would hope that they're still watching the episodes, which is awesome, which just speaks so much to this show that like it really can touch. There's so many different angles to this show that can really touch people, which is awesome.
I mean, the fans are such a huge part of the show and such a huge part of the reason why the show
was saved and is back. I mean, we've been waiting 2 years. I am so beyond excited for this next season. I can only imagine what all of the ERPers out there feel like, especially after such a fight that all of the ERPers, you know, put into this.
I know. It's insane. I remember. So I've actually been doing stuff with the show. Season one was when I first started at Sci-Fi. I was like brand new and fresh and, you know, bushy-tailed and ready to go. And I remember it being like, I remember going online after, you know, I was working on my first show and being excited about it and doing, you know, some editing and making some promos. And I went on Twitter and it was just overwhelming, the amount of like hashtags, like Renew Wine on Herb, like Way Hot, like all this stuff. It was like a phenomenon. I was like so impressed with what I was like, people should write papers about the ERPers. Like, this is insane. And to watch this fight, the whole fight for Winona, like, has been amazing. They actually got it back. I remember, like, you know, I'm not in the rooms where it happens all the time, but I remember being just like, this show has got to come back. Like, oh my God, we have to. There's so much more to do.
I know. I'm just so excited it's back. We got an epic trailer.
I am going to kick so much ass, I might go up a shoe size.
God, I missed you, Waverly Earp.
I loved it. It was like all the feelings that you wanted to feel. Like, you wanted to laugh and cry, and you wanted to like be excited for more, but then also like you never wanted it to end. You're like, what's next? What's next? But I also don't want this to end. What did you think? What did you like?
Okay, so there's a quote like right toward the beginning of the trailer where Winona says,
without the gun, I'm nothing.
Yeah. And it's such a heartbreaking thing to hear in a trailer, especially because we're on season 4 now. And how has Winona not come to terms with the fact that she is so much more than Peacemaker? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's so much more than that. And it just goes to show that, like, even after, you know, 4 seasons, Winona is still struggling with trying to figure out, like, who she is and what her place is in this world and what her relationships are with her family and friends. And so just hearing that line, I was just like, oh gosh, like, oh no, I just wanted to scream at her, like, no, Winona, you're so much more.
But don't you feel that's like, I feel like superheroes feel like that sometimes, you know? It's like, there are so, like, who is Spider-Man without, you know, the Spider-Man mask and his way, you know? And so I feel like when she lost Peacemaker, it just was like, who am I? You know, she was this person for so long. And it kills me to hear her say that. But, you know, I mean, she's got to bounce back, right? I mean, she knows, like, how badass she is.
I know. I'm kind of hoping that actually sets up all of season 4. And I'm kind of hoping that, you know, from the without the gun, I'm nothing at the end, I'm hoping we get a quote, whether it's someone telling her how she is something, you know, without it, or she just kind of learns to be able to trust her instincts and know that it's not all about Peacemaker. It's her. So that's something I'm really looking forward to in the season. Also, the trailer gave us Officer Hot punching Winona, which is kind of fitting.
I know. It's like, it was, oh my God, I loved it. I felt like it was so comic. Like, you knew whatever, I mean, she, you know, whatever she did to, you know, drugging them like that. And you know, obviously, like, Nicole wants to be in the middle of it all. And like, if she's kept from it, you know, she's not going to take it laying down. So
no,
but I love that she says my ginger bitch, like she's so happy to she's so happy to see her, but she like the first her greeting is a punch, which is, you're right, it feels so right. It's like
it feels right, and Nicole was due for payback on that.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely,
absolutely. And another thing that I saw in the trailer, it looks like we're getting new demon killing weapons.
The guac gun.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call it the guac gun. Every time I watch it, I just like imagine guac coming out of the gun, and I don't know why. I'm just like the
and
way
then
that
I want one.
Yeah. The guac gun is a different demon. Well, I mean, if Jeremy's back, right, there's Black Badge, is, you think, I mean, he looked like a Black Badge guy in it, right? I mean, it looked like,
right.
I wonder, like, what are they, you know, and they have those kind of big weapons, and I don't know. I'm just so glad to see that no matter where she is, Waverly can still scream Winona as loud as she possibly can.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that is just chilling. It's just chilling
it's
every time.
So good. Well, we had a scream of Wynonna, and we also had Wynonna screaming Waverly.
Help.
Waverly! Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Then that moment. Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, it's so good. I love screaming sad.
I do.
Sad, scared,
I was
going to
be
screaming.
Like, I do, too.
You know something serious if people are screaming.
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it also just kind of amplifies the love between them. And that's what I love so much about this show.
You can feel it. Yeah. Like, because they love each other, like, just naturally, which is like in those moments, I feel like she's yelling Waverly, but like also yelling Dominique. You know what I mean? Because it's like this intense, you can feel like they really care about each other in that way that it's like.
Well, we saw that Nicole and Waverly, like, well, Nicole at least says, like, it's so good to have you back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just kind of like, oh, is that a spoiler or is that going to be like a flashback of something? Like, I don't know.
I mean, we also don't know what state Waverly is going to be in. You know what I mean? Like, she might be back, but she might be like, we don't know. We might have another like Gooverly, where she was like possessed by a god in like, you know, at the beginning of season 3. So,
I loved,
you know what I mean?
That episode. Yeah.
I know, but it was so, that's literally the most frustrating storyline of any show is when another person is possessed by another person and then everyone else in the show thinks it's the real person, but they're secretly not. And it's just so frustrating because as the audience, you know, and you just want to be like, that's not them. And then.
I don't know if it's a trope or something, but it is one of my favorites. Like, I'm all about like body swapping and I'm all about like demon possessing where the audience knows and the characters in the in the actual, you know, show don't know. So I am all about that and give me more of it.
I feel like, yeah, I like love it, but it's one of those things that just like my heart the whole time, I'm just yelling at the TV. It's one of those things where, yeah, you're totally, yeah. But yeah, I feel like the show that does this a lot and I'm always like,
it's so true. But you want to know what? I'm also hoping that season 4 is going to give us more vampires.
Oh, yeah. And more like just different kind. I was so excited when there were vampires. I feel like every supernatural show needs their version of vampires. And I was like, these are sexy vampires. Like it was like my favorite. I love that. I want to see what other versions that Emily comes up with of like this world's version of that supernatural creature. Like that's what I'm very excited about. So more vampires. So like what else is there? You know?
Yes, we have angels. We have vampires. Like we already have like so many really interesting creatures. I mean, I don't even know how to describe them.
Yeah. When I'm
within the show, and to me, another thing that I love so much about Wynonna Earp as a show is that it kind of brings back all of the things that I love about some of my favorite like 90s TV shows. I feel like a lot of the shows I loved in the 90s did a spin on like a vampire episode. So for me, when I saw that last season, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. This is like written for me.
I feel like so many things in this show, there's so many times, and I'm sure so many Earpers feel like this, like you hear a line or a scene or something and you're just like, Emily Andrews wrote this for me, right? Like this scene is about as my, you know, helping me in, through my life. I do think that she's thinking about all of the Earpers when she's writing everything. Like I do, like we've had, you have too, like we've had a couple conversations with her and I think she truly like wants to make sure that she's showing the right representation. She's wanting to reach people about like mental illness and just about this, you know, lonely, like people that feel lonely. And I think she really takes consideration and when they're crafting those lines and those stories to like touch people like very specifically. So you feel like she's writing for you or like speaking to you, you know?
Well, yeah, it's honestly such a rare thing to see from showrunners because I feel like a lot of times they're off doing their own show and the fans kind of fit in their own little bubble within that. But something that Emily does is that she actually does want to get to know her audience. Yeah. She wants to be, you know, hearing from them. She wants to give them what, you know, the audience wants, but at the same time, still be able to create this incredibly original story. So I really admire her for that.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that you see from like any other TV shows.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I actually, It's such a weird like circle. Like my first Wynonna was one of my first shows, but when I started working at Sci-Fi, but my first show that I started working at Sci-Fi was my first show. I cut a promo for my first promo ever. I cut like officially was for Lost Girl. So it was the last season of Lost Girl. And I had no, I mean, at that moment, like I didn't realize the whole connection. I had just started, you know, there, and I was like figuring it out. But it till this day is my favorite promo. It's literally, it was the last season, and it was like just a regular promo, and it was 30 seconds of people just making out, and it said, "Get it on one last time," and it was like, "We're all here for the group suck," and I was like, "Oh, this is the greatest show ever." Little did I know that she also was going to go on to like write, you know, a couple months later, Wynonna Earp like started picking up, and so it was like, she's literally a like, you know, a god, and in terms of, you know, creating different shows and. It's been cool. She's been a big part of my life for sure, in a way that I like did, at times you didn't even realize. So as we're reminiscing about all of our, about like how amazing Wynonna Earp is, I feel like the Earpers need to get to know us a little bit and like kind of like see where we're coming at from an Earp standpoint. So like, let's just like remind everybody of our favorite things because that's what's important. So what is your favorite? What is your favorite episode? Let's start there.
Oh, okay. So I can't pick a favorite episode.
It's really hard.
I have favorites. I'll start with season three and work backward because I don't know. Maybe this is such a cliche, but I was obsessed with war paint from last season. Mm. I absolutely loved that episode. I just feel like there was so much that finally came to fruition. We finally got to defeat Bolshar. We finally got to find out about Waverly's, you know, father, and then for her to be taken to the garden, and, you know, everything just kind of exploded in that moment. And it felt more of like a new beginning than an end to something.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm so excited for this next season, is because of War Paint. It was such a great episode.
It really was. Yeah.
But then if we're going to go to season two, I think I have to pick I Hope You Dance, only just because of how extremely heartbreaking it was. I mean, it's season two, episode 12. Again, it's another finale. I don't know why I'm picking finales, but it's just like...
Well, I mean, it all comes to a head in a finale, and you just like, it just feels... It does all the right things to you, you know? It ties stuff up. It leaves stuff open. It's still, you know, it's... I get it.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, it's just heartbreaking to have to watch Wynonna make, like, this crazy decision to give up her baby. Oh, and that scene between her and Doc was just so sad. And
I know. Oh.
So maybe that was, like, saddest episode and not favorite, but... There's just so many good episodes. What about you? I mean, there's too many good episodes.
I know. It's so hard to choose. I mean, this is, I have to say, I loved episode 109, which is the episode where Waverly and Nicole get together, which is like,
yes.
I, as a queer woman, it was just like the most exciting episode to see, because it was like the first time. It felt just like a normal, like, I mean, everyone says this about the show because it's so true. But it was like the first time that they just, like, that moment when she pulls her into the back in the office in the police station and like on that couch, it was like the most beautiful, like, romantic, sexy, awkward moment. And that's like how I imagine myself all the time, is just like all of those words.
But it's real.
Yeah. And
it's,
that's what
real.
I mean. That's exactly why, like, yes. And it was just so, it was such a great moment. So that was definitely a top. So I agree with you on War Paint. I literally think that line of when Doc goes up into the garden and he's like, "I am the weapon," is like literally.
Yes.
I literally think about that. Like, that's my mantra. Sometimes I'm like, I can do this. I am the weapon.
It's such a good episode. There's just too many to choose from.
I know.
Obviously, I love episodes where, you know, all of the season or multiple episodes have been building up to a conclusion. But I also really love standalone kind of sidetrack episodes.
Yes, yes.
So much fun. Like we were just talking about how Waverly was possessed by the demon. Mm-hmm. That episode is so much fun because yeah, they're having to sneak around with a possessed Waverly. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, it was such a fun episode.
And nobody knows. Nobody knows.
And nobody knows but us, because but us, the we're audience. The smart ones.
I also like the themed episode. Like, I love the Christmas episode. That one was so good. And also, like the Jolene episode was good, too. I mean, obviously, with the garden and being, you know, with, you know, I'm here and I stay with, you know, Waverly and all that. I mean, those are, I mean, it's just like classics.
And vampires.
Love yeah, it. And vampires. Oh my God, that's another great one. Pink Sexy Frog.
I know. I was going to ask you, because I know you've worked a lot with the cast and, you know, behind the scenes as well on Wynonna Earp. I'm curious if you have any fun Earp stories, like behind the scene Earp stories.
Right now, well, I think what was fun, and I think everybody already knows this, but recently we've been recording a lot of stuff with the cast. We have had a little bit of an issue because, and not an issue, but Dominique was traveling across Canada in a van, which was amazing and the most Dominique thing that I think you could possibly do. But we kept thinking of things we wanted to do with her. And then we were like, but she's in a van. How are we going to send her that? How are we going to get that to her? So that was like, truthfully, one of the most interesting, you know, it's not a great story, but I like was thinking about it recently, like with everything happening with COVID and stuff, we've had this cast has been such troopers because we've had to get them and record them and have them jump on different kinds of Zooms and just like different ways of promoting the show in a world where we can't all be together, which is interesting with a show that brings so many people together. It was like, it almost made it easier because like these people are all around the world loving this show. And so how do we bring everybody together to celebrate it? And the cast has been great because they, you know, they realize this. So it's been, they've had to jump on Zoom after Zoom. I've been on so many Zooms with this cast. It's like.
I have a fun one.
Yeah. Go for it.
I happened to be at San Diego Comic-Con and got to hang out with the cast for their very first Comic-Con panel for the show. I don't know how I ended up in the room with them. I was doing some work with Sci-Fi, just kind of like some social posts and taking photos with people who would come back through, you know, the Sci-Fi lounge or whatever it was. And the cast was just hanging out there for a while before they had to go, you know, continue on their press tour. San Diego Comic-Con is a busy time if you're an actor in a show. And for anyone who's there, to be honest. But I remember them because I was such a big fan of the show. And they had not realized how big the show was.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, they didn't even believe that their panel was getting like a big ballroom. Like they thought they were going to be in a small little room with just like a couple of people. And I was like, I could be wrong. And I know a fan might correct me on this, but I'm pretty sure that their first panel was in Ballroom 20, which is one of the, it's a huge ballroom. And I just remember telling them like, you guys, like, no, this is a big ballroom. You're not going to have just like 100 people. You're going to have thousands. And just seeing how excited they were to be there. And I remember Melanie telling me that she was just so upset that she didn't get her nails done, I think. And she looked so beautiful. They all were just so wonderful. And yeah, it was like Shamir and Tim and Kat, Mel and Dom. And just, it's crazy. Like, I wish I had that experience on camera. Because I think even they, looking back, would be like, oh my gosh, like we had no clue how big this show was and how many people would actually be there.
I wish you had that experience on camera. I would love to put it in a promo.
I'm sure it's somewhere. I have photos.
Yeah. I actually had, you know, I didn't, now that I've had a chance to think about it, I have a much better answer.
Go for it.
I was back on set the the first week that they started filming season three, which was first off amazing because the energy was insane. I mean, these people didn't know if they were coming back. Everyone was separated, so everyone was seeing each other for the first time. And I was lucky enough, we did some capture of the first table read and everyone getting back together, which was so cool. But I thought what was really fun is we wanted to do an Instagram takeover of Kat dyeing her hair back to red because she's not normally red. So yeah. Me and Jenny, who is the social person for Wynonna Earp, were in the hair and makeup trailer. And we were hanging out with her for literally like 3 hours as she just dyed her hair red. And it was just such a weird because she's sitting there and slowly just forming into Nicole, which was like such a weird. And we're just like talking about everything. Like it was a normal like, oh, what are you watching right now? What's your favorite show? Like it was very like she's the sweetest. So it felt like very, you know, very welcoming and warm. And then she just like left and then had totally different hair, like red. And then they were talking about like, this doesn't seem like the right color red for Nicole. Like, same color as last time? Like, they're like, okay, well, we have to do more tomorrow. Like, just the way that they talked about something that's so iconic, like the fact that she is a redhead and that whole is like such a big part. And also, I'm a redhead, so I think maybe it affected me more. But, you know, I think like just seeing her transform into that character just sitting right there was like so cool. Especially such an important character, like to me personally, but also to the show. And it was just like so cool. That was a fun story. That was slightly better than awesome. My story about Dom driving across the.
Oh my gosh. I can just imagine that, like, oh, the poor like continuity manager is like has like a swab of red that's like the officer hot hair color red. Like, and they have to match it every season.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, people's hairs change. So I can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, she doesn't wear a wig. It's not like it's the same thing. Like they literally just dye her hair. So, you know, it's like changing something so epic about a person. And so they were so worried, I think, about making it just right, which I think they nailed it. But I mean, in the moment, it was like so interesting to watch them like worry about something that's so iconic. I wonder what if there'll be any good guest stars this season. That's what I was thinking about, too. Mm-hmm. All my favorite guest stars in the past. I guess Bobo he's not guest star, but I miss Bobo so much. I really miss him. And Megan follows. Like, I wonder if she'll come back as Mama Earp.
I wonder.
I don't know. There's just so many, like, great. I mean, I would love to see Anna Silk again in some way. Yeah.
There's just so many good guest stars and characters on the show that it's like, oh, it's crazy. But right now, all I can think about is, like, the immediate danger that episode one's going to put us in.
Oh, and my,
like,
gosh.
Having to, you know what I mean? It's like so hard for me to think of like, oh, this guest star would be fun. But right now I'm just like, no, you got to get Waverly.
Yeah, this season one episode, it's not going to be like a slow build. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to be right in the danger right as we're back. You know, I mean, it's
awesome.
I love a cliffhanger. Like, I personally, when a show doesn't have a cliffhanger, I'm like personally offended a little bit. Like, I want to be put in that sort of like when I come back for that next episode, we're like in it. And so I'm so excited that this, as excruciating as it was, I mean, we didn't think it would be 2 years, but as excruciating as the finale was, it's like so exciting because, you know, when we go back in, we're hitting the ground running and it's not going to be like, oh, like we wrapped it up. Like, oh, isn't that crazy? There's a monster. It's going to be like, we have to save Waverly. Like out of 10.
It's going to be so rewarding. And that's, I also love finales like that where, you know, I want a cliffhanger, but I also want answers. And that's what I think that War Paint did so well. It's like, we got so many answers, but then we got left with this incredible cliffhanger. And it's like, we still have more questions, but we're not like still like, oh, they're never going to tell us this thing from season one. You know what I mean? At least we get the answers. But then we get left with this like amazing cliffhanger and then we get to jump right into the action. It's so cool.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of action this season too. Like, just from the trailer, you can tell that there's like a lot of running, a lot of stunts, a lot of, you know, like gun work, some good gun work, you know? Like, I think there's a lot of action that's going to be happening.
Okay, so obviously we have a lot to look forward to for season four, and we're left with so many questions, and I doubt we're going to get any answers to those questions before we have the opportunity to see the show, but you know what? It's worth a try, don't you think, Rachel?
Yeah, I think maybe if we talk to Emily Andrus, she might have some answers for us. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. So guys, stick around because we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined with Emily Andrus.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we are back with our fearless leader, Emily Andrus, everybody.
Woo! Yeah. Hello, everybody. Hello, ERPers and co. And people who don't know they're ERPers yet, but will be.
So how's it going in Calgary? You're about to start shooting, right? For the second six episodes.
We are about to start shooting in summer. I don't even know what to do with myself. Just so everybody knows who's just tuning in, I just spent the first 10 minutes talking to these women about all the beavers that are in downtown Calgary. My owner is back, baby. Just kidding. They're real life beavers. It's really weird. It's wild to be back. I just think season four is so hilarious, you guys. It's both blessed and cursed, right? Like maybe we'll still be making it in 2050, but that's fine. I'm ready to go. No, knock on wood. And we're about to premiere. So we've never done that before.
Yeah. You were talking earlier just about how, you know, you've never been shooting a season while one is airing. And the fact that you get to shoot in summertime is so exciting. And we get new outfits, hopefully.
We do get new outfits, or we're just going to like rip the sleeves off the parkas. Sun's out, guns out. No.
They just become vests.
Yeah. We have a pretty strong bra game on the show, I feel like. It's one thing we're sort of known for. So I feel like we'll just go full bra on everybody. Jeremy, Nedley, Doc, maybe some of the female characters. Who knows? But so it's going to be good. Mainly Nedley. Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Okay, good.
I'm excited for some like very cheeky t-shirts. I feel like you guys can wear t-shirts now, right? There's definitely some cheeky t-shirts coming out.
Oh,
right?
And there are several women on the show who apparently spent the quarantine just working out. And now they have like a 10 pack versus me who spent the quarantine eating every type of flavor of chip in case I died. Yeah. I just wanted to get that on my bucket list. So a cheeky crop top or a cheeky t-shirt would play really well, I feel like.
What was your favorite kind of chip you ate in quarantine?
Well, we have some really crazy flavors in Canada.
Right.
So
we
have one that is really famous called the All Dressed Ruffle Chip, which is amazing. And the concept is it's all the flavors together. So it sounds horrible, but it's kind of amazing. It's like salt and vinegar and a little bit of barbecue. Yeah, I'm going to get you some. Rachel, it's okay. Ooh. Put your brows back down. I'm sending you some immediately. Do you guys have that though? I shouldn't talk like I know. Do you have that in the States?
I've never heard of that.
All dressed. And then the other weird one we have that's really famous in Canada, which Kat Burrell loves, is ketchup. Ketchup chips. Now, here's the thing.
I think they have those maybe in the States.
I'm going to go straight for controversy. First 5 minutes of the podcast. I don't like ketchup as a condiment.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay. Katie, good poker face. You didn't even hang up. You were like,
I don't have a poker face.
But I don't really like condiments, but I do like ketchup. So that's interesting.
So I don't like ketchup on anything, but the ketchup potato chip is a really top-notch chip. Top three for sure. But you know what? Just a classic sour cream and onion sometimes can bring us all together. Like, don't overthink it. Barbecue, it's all right, man. Treat yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like.
I like this All Dressed. That sounds good.
I'm going to send you some.
It does.
That feels like me as a chip. Like, I feel like that's like who I feel my soul.
Yeah, me too. Like, it sounds like it shouldn't work and it's kind of a mess, but like, it's just out there doing its thing.
Yes.
It's like our soul. It's our soulmate chip. Yeah. I'll send you some, Rachel. I promise.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, good. You're welcome.
So, you know, since you mentioned before that you guys are going to be on set at the same time and filming stuff as like episodes are airing, Do you think, I mean, is everything written? Do you think things will change based on how people talk about stuff? Like, are we going to like throw any loops? Like you thought it's going to be one way, but now maybe you haven't filmed that last episode, so we'll switch it up.
Honestly, Rachel, did my producer send you, is this even getting taped? Or are you just here to tell me to write faster? Because that would be completely on brand. You're like, hey, we're just wondering if like the scripts are done, maybe. Like, no, we're extremely, extremely close. I have written everything but the last two episodes, which is episode 411 and 412. But of course, as happens so much in our lives, previous Emily was like, I'm just going to write the last two episodes. It'll take some of the load off the other writers. And now I'm like all by myself and I have to write the last two episodes. So that's going to be exciting. It's one word for it. No, look, a lot of things happen in the first six episodes that just have to be resolved, right? There's no kind of two ways about it. Hint, hint, spoiler alert. So, but I think having had some time off, it's just really always a good chance to see what's working on the show, what's been working on season four, what themes are kind of working. And I'm so excited to film these last six in the summer. I think it's really going to be appropriate for the season and really fresh and really beautiful.
If you had to explain season four in only four words, what do you think you would explain?
Oh my God.
Season four is.
I would just say fight for your family, I think, is the most important thing. Just fight for your family. I know I don't do math. Rachel, you're in charge of counting. I'll just say some words.
That was four.
But I would say family means so many things on this show. And certainly that's a huge theme, I think, of season four, just family.
I think that's awesome because you've said before, and I think we've talked about it, is like the idea that, you know, you've sort of done that meta thing between what has actually happened for fighting for the show and how they're fighting in the show. So it's sort of beautiful that, you know, it feels like we're all family. We're all part of one big family.
I think so. And I think there's a lot of Easter eggs for the ERPers this year without taking away from the show. I hope, like, you know, what they call fan service is always such a hard balance to make sure you're like, you're giving a wink to the super fans, but at the same time, it always has to be organic and come from character. You know what else is really funny, you guys, without getting into it too much, there's a lot of themes about like isolation and the quarantine and stuff like that that happened in season four that I can't really talk about. Like, I wish that I had bought a lottery ticket because there's things that happen in season four that I think when we see it, we'll reflect on what we've all just been through maybe a little bit in the zeitgeist with COVID. Not in a way that's like unfun, I don't think. And like, look, I definitely want the show to be an escape for you right now more than ever, but it's going to seem very eerily familiar in a lot of ways, I think.
I think a lot of people need that, honestly. Like, I feel like people who are sitting at home, they're really looking for escapism and they're looking for something to be able to watch, to kind of feel something during these times. And I think especially with Wynonna coming back right now, like, it couldn't be more perfect.
Oh, thanks, Katie. I feel like that too. And it's certainly like, that's certainly one thing that we thought about for about 2 seconds when we talked about coming back for the second half, right? You're like, well, are people going to want, you know, has Wynonna and co gone through COVID-19? And I think we've just decided, look, every single commercial on television right now is telling us we're all going to stick together and then you can go back to buying a car or whatever. It's just like, I really do think people want an escape. So that's been a little bit of a tightrope walk just insofar as what storytelling is going to look like in the future. But thank you so much for saying that. And I do think that's what has made Wynonna so successful. It's people work really hard in their life and it's okay to come home and watch something that makes you laugh and cry and feel like you can tackle the world. And I think sometimes those types of shows are kind of underrated or seen as silly versus stuff that is really, really serious with like dark anti-heroes. But I don't know, man, writing something that makes people feel all those things is the greatest joy in my life. That's why I do it. So certainly it will be a roller coaster ride. It's pretty classic ERP, I would say, season four, as far as you yelling at me on Twitter and me ignoring you or teasing you.
The ERPiest ERP season of them all.
Yeah, I think so.
So speaking of non-spoilers, maybe.
Right.
You know those like memes that are like non-context spoilers?
Yes.
Where you have no idea?
Yes.
Do you have any, like, could you give us three words that are like out of context, they don't mean anything, but like once we see the show, they'll make sense.
Wow. I have to be so careful. Kicking poultry is one. Erp Spoon is one that I feel like people are really into. God, I'd have to do my homework. Those are my only two off the top of my head, just given what I'm writing right now. So
those are great, though.
Thank you.
In season three, though, we got vampires, which I was really excited for. In season four, are we going to get any sort of immortal beings?
Immortal beings. Yes, it's kind of an interesting season because at the end of season three, the Erp curse is broken, right? So the Revenant seem to have disappeared. Wynona's lost her gun, Peacemaker. She seems to be even without superpower. So what is the big bad? It's actually one of the my favorite things about the trailer, which someone on this podcast might have had a huge hand in cutting, Rachel, and was phenomenal, is that the trailer made people feel so many things. But the truth is, after you watch that, you're like, wait, who's the bad guy of the season? You still don't really know. I do give you a supernatural creature guarantee. We definitely see some stuff we haven't seen before. And then the villains of this season are interesting, I would say. You just want more sexy vampires, though, right? It's okay. You can
I mean, well, yes, of course.
She does. She wants more sexy vampires.
I love myself a sexy vampire. But no, it's just exciting because, you know, every season I feel like you throw something new at us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I wasn't like I never would have like thought about that. And it's just so cool. So that's why curious to see if this season, like, ooh, I wonder.
We definitely see some stuff you haven't seen before. How about that? We also have some greatest hits, I would say. Return to some greatest hits. Plus poultry kicking, guys. Come on.
Spooning.
And spooning.
Katie said that she is a pro at predicting what is going to happen in the season. Oh, so last season, she guessed a few things.
Whoa. Careful.
That's the way it came across, Katie.
But now I'm terrified because now I have to have a poker face if she guesses correctly.
I just got a couple of predictions right last season, but I knew who Waverly's dad was the second he popped in. I was just like,
No idea.
Him.
Oh. Katie. That's a pretty good one. I didn't see too many people guess that.
No, I was like, who's this guy? Like, get it, Wynona.
Get it, Wynona, in a fire truck. It's definitely not your sister's angel dad. But now I can't pull that trick again, right? Every time a new character comes on, people are going to be like, oh, that's the half-brother or whatever. So I can't do it. I've used that up. But good for you, Katie. That's a good one.
I'm so bad at that, though. I believe everything that I'm watching. I'm like, I'm just like, favorite. Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I never. So I had no idea. But Katie is, I'm very gullible. I believe everything anyone tells me.
It means you're always satisfied, which is good. You're the opposite of Hamilton.
love Hamilton.
But Katie's the tough nut then to win over because she's jaded. She's seen it all.
No.
Smoking a cigar like, oh, yeah.
And I got him this time, everybody.
Yeah, I got it. I knew that was coming.
Well, Katie and I were going to do a bet when she told me this. I said, there's no way you're going to guess anything in the new season. And I know maybe a little bit more than Katie just because of everything that, you know, we've been
doing. Yeah, Rachel, you're not allowed to bet because you've actually seen stuff.
Well, no. So I'm going to say that Katie can't guess what's going to happen. And if she gets anything right, I'm going to take a shot for everything she gets right at the end of the season.
Katie, can you make one guess? Oof. Can you make one guess about what's going to happen this year? Have you seen the trailer?
Of course.
Okay. Have you seen the show? I'm just teasing you. you're going to love it. There's this guy. He's definitely not Waverly's dad. Don't worry about it.
Shoot. You know, I usually am way better after I have at least seen an episode.
Okay.
And I have not seen them yet.
Okay. If I don't do poorly on this podcast, may I come back on this podcast halfway through the season and hear what you think is going to happen in the back half?
Yes, okay, of course. Deal. Of course.
Do you have any predictions about what's going on in the garden?
Ooh.
Do you think it's going to be cold?
Do I think it's going to be cold?
Damn it, Katie.
Don't make it easy for her. I have to take the amount of shots that she gets right.
Oh, my God. I should just start saying all the things I know are going to happen, and then Rachel's going to be lying on her
face.
This
is great.
Yeah, exactly.
This is our plan all along.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a feeling that you may present us with how to get out of the garden. Mm-hmm. And it might be a thing of like, this is how you do the thing, but it won't be.
That sounds like something I do.
That also is like a little vague. So I don't know if we can clarify.
Shot.
After the first episode, I will, you know, our next podcast, I'll just be like, oh yeah, here, this, okay, this, this. But
I will listen.
I was wrong a lot last season. I was wrong a lot.
Good. But thank goodness.
I got a couple right. I got a couple.
I'm excited. And I'm also terrified for your beautiful liver, Rachel. So I'm excited.
It's too late.
It's too late. Yeah. It's too late. Yeah.
I may be auditioning for a new co-host next season.
Whatever. No way. She'll be fine. She'll be good.
So speaking of getting things right or wrong, we have a game for you, Miss Emily.
Oh, always good. Is it strip poker?
It is, yes.
Okay.
On a podcast, so everyone play along.
Can see.
Good.
So we're going to play a game called ERP or NERP.
Oh, I love it already. Okay.
So we're going to read you a couple lines. Mm-hmm. And some of the lines are ERP, which means that they're ERP. They're from Winona ERP.
Okay.
And some of them are NERP,
okay,
which means they're not from Winona ERP.
Okay.
But they may be from other shows you are familiar with.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we'll get started with
I'm
the
ready.
First one. Okay.
I'm ready. Do I have to do a shot? Oh, my God. What is happening? Okay.
My head is pounding harder than a sailor on shore leave.
ERP. ERP, 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 ERP is my answer.
Ooh, who wants to break it to her?
Oh, it's from Lost Girl.
Yeah, oh, it is. Yeah. It's from Lost Girl.
No. How embarrassing. I have to resign.
As I was going through these lines, I was like,
shit.
This is an Emily. Like, I could see, like, I love it. It's so good.
Oh, God. I wrote it, but oh, my God. I know. That was like in the 70s. Okay, fair enough. I got to concentrate now. I got to remember what I wrote when. Oh, God. Okay. You think you're never going to forget, guys, man. Okay. I'm back in the game.
Next one is worst fortune cookie advice ever.
I'm going to say with a little less confidence. Erp.
Ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
Oh, God.
I never kid about jambalaya. I'm not that kind of guy.
Nerp.
Yeah, oh, you know what that's from?
No.
It's from Instant Star.
Oh, my God. Instant Star. When Tim Rosen was like a little baby and the best looking person I'd ever seen. I just didn't talk to him for 2 years because I was like, look at his beautiful face. Tommy Q on Instant Star. Okay.
All right. Next one is, I don't take notes from someone wearing an oven mitt.
That's going to be an ERP.
Gotta be an ERP.
Yep.
When in doubt, follow the blonde.
NERP. That's a NERP. Is it a NERP?
It's an ERP.
And it's good advice.
I've been following that advice for a real long time.
I'm going to get so fired.
That's why I'm on this podcast with Katie, because I followed the blonde.
Oh,
to
good.
The
okay, excellent. Yeah, right to Shotsville. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right to the bar.
Right to Fun Town.
Yeah, right to Fun Town.
I don't need luck. I have good breeding and knives.
Holy God. That's probably from Remains of the Day. I'm going to say NERP.
Correct. Do you know where it's from?
That is from a little show I like to call possibly Lost Girl. I don't know. What's it from?
Killjoys.
Oh my God, Killjoys. My God, I'm so old. I wrote so much more than I thought.
Okay. You bitches are witches.
That is going to be Lost Girl. I'm going to say NERP.
Yep.
Oh, thank
yep,
God.
Yep, yep.
Oh, thank
there
God.
Go.
Okay, good. These are hard. You guys are good. You're not going. You know. I like that you're not going easy on me. I actually like that. Okay.
I'm just the girl with the big ass. Ass.
Oh, that sounds like something I would have said on a panel.
on a panel.
Okay, I'm going to say ERP. Oh, yep, thank God.
Yep. Yeah, got it.
Why aren't some of these like, I'm Winona ERP? And then I'm like, that's ERP.
Because that's too easy.
I know.
Crazy chick with a gun. I was going to put that in that.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the last one. Are you ready?
Okay, yes.
I didn't keep score. Did anyone keep score? I don't know how well she
I
did.
I think it was pretty much 100. I got 100%.
I think it was 100%. Yeah,
I think that's it was. What it felt
that's
like.
That's what I
that's
what
in
I
my
got.
Heart.
Yeah.
We're checking the sources. Yep, that's 100%. Okay.
Yeah.
Come back when you don't have something that blows.
Come back when you don't have something that blows. I'm going to say NERP.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, good.
That's from Instant Star, too.
Instant Star. Oh, my God. That's a bit of a cheeky one from Instant Star. Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank
that was
you.
Good.
For
you did
well.
You
did
really well.
Deep dive into the past. That was kind of fun.
I wouldn't even be able to remember things I said a day ago or even at breakfast this morning.
So. I know that's a bit how I feel, but some of them I remember. Wow. Instant Star is fun.
Well, that was awesome. I mean, is there any, you know, do you have any other like fun little teasers for season four that we can be like, this was something special on this podcast?
Oh, like something exclusive.
Can you, I mean, no pressure, but you know,
I already gave you the
pressure.
I gave you the all dress chips hookup. I feel like that was a deep dive. Let me think. What can I tell you? Okay. This is kind of maybe not that exciting, but I think that when I said it was about family and I said, we're going to see all sorts of families this year, I would say that also maybe applies to the villains.
Ooh.
And that's a pretty big one, you guys. So don't podcast
Thank
that.
You.
Just kidding.
Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
That was great.
I have so many thoughts now.
So many more shots. I can just see
the shots. I know. Listen, I'm not going to confirm or deny anything, but that's maybe that's a good one for you guys that I haven't said anywhere else.
Oh my gosh. Well, Emily,
that's fun. I love that.
I just have to say, and this may be cheesy, but I just have to say thank you. Like, just for being on the podcast and for everything. I was telling Katie earlier that my first thing I worked on at Sci-Fi was Lost Girl as an editor. I made one of the last promos for Lost Girl. And it's still one of my favorite promos that I've ever made. It was.
Can you send it to me?
Yeah, it's 30 seconds of people making out. And it says, get it on. It says, get it on one last time.
And you're like, Mom and Dad, look what I did at my new job. Yeah.
I've never been so proud.
Oh my God, can you please send it to me?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah, because my first job with Sci-Fi was the Winona cast was like the first cast I got to talk to.
Oh, I hope they were nice to you.
Oh, they were wonderful. That was their first Comic-Con, so they were all just like bright-eyed and just so excited.
And they really are like that. Well, I want to say thank you guys so much for your support. And look, I've never worked on a show that had so much ground support, you know, just like fans and friends just taking it upon themselves to yell about this crazy, crazy show. So thank you so much for having me on, you guys, and for supporting us, honestly. And I really, truly hope you like season four.
Yes.
I can't wait to watch it.
Before we let you go, we're going to do this is our new segment on the podcast where we're going to do a cheers at Shorty's.
Waverly wants you to join her at Shorty's for nachos.
Okay, so we're going to take
I have a really weird beer called a dinosaur sour.
Okay.
Whiskey, that's hardcore. Oh my God, Katie's at Shorty's.
Yeah, this is
you can see my whiskey.
Oh my God, do you have a green whiskey? Why can't we see your whiskey?
Yeah, because it's clear. It's a bullet rye. So yeah, it's like.
Oh my God. You have one of those newfangled invisible whiskeys that are all the rage these days.
That's the kind of whiskey I'm going to take when I have to do shots of whatever Katie predicts.
No. Listen, that's like a
just invisible one.
Katie, that's like a supernatural whiskey. Here's to you guys. Here's to Herb.
Herb, cheers. Here's to amazing. Cheers to an amazing new season of Winona Earp.
To the Earpers.
To the Earpers.
Yes, to the Earpers. Thank you guys so much for checking out our official Winona Earp podcast. And a huge thank you to Emily Andrus for joining us this week. She's so wonderful to talk to, and we just had the best time. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a nice review wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow us at Sci-Fi Wire on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me on Twitter at The Katie Wilson.
You can find me at Little May 7789.
And check back for more Winona Earp every Monday.
And this was a great episode. Just wait. It's only, just get ready. Get ready, Earpers, for what's to come this season. And remember,
heroes always win. We'll see you next week, Beavers.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.